22. Several things have happened since Achilleus got his armour in book 18, and that is that he wants to return to the fighting straight away. So in book 19 there is some sort of reconciliation with Agamemnon. Briseis is returned to Achilleus. Then in book 20 Zeus allows the gods to join in the fighting again. Achilleus' first fight is against Aeneas, and Aeneas is helped by Apollo. But in the end, Poseidon rescues Aeneas because he's worried that he won't be able to found Rome if he gets killed by Achilleus instead. The Aristeia of Achilleus continues in book 20. He slaughters lots of Trojans, and Hector has to be protected by Apollo. In book 21, Achilleus continues killing the Trojans and he drives them into the river Scamander. He goes too far, however, when he insults the river god, and Hephaestus has to then come in and help Achilleus. In the end, King Priam opens the city gates so that the Trojans can retreat inside Troy. So this is book 22. So the Trojans, panicked like deer, spread through the city. They leaned against the fine battlements and dried the sweat from their bodies and drank and slaked their thirst. And meanwhile, the Achaeans came up closer to the wall, sloping their shields against their shoulders. Then his cruel fate shackled Hector to stay there outside, in front of Ilios and the Scaean gates. Meanwhile, Phoebus Apollo spoke to the son of Peleus, that's Achilleus. Son of Peleus, why are you chasing me with all the speed of your legs when you are a mortal and I an immortal god? So you have not seen me for a god and are still hot in your fury to catch me. You must be forgetting the work you have with the Trojans. You sent them running in panic, but look, they've crowded into their city while you swung away out here. You will never kill me. I am no creature of fate. Then swift-footed Achilleus said to him in fury, you have thwarted me, far worker, deadliest of all gods, by turning me out here now away from the wall. Otherwise many more would have sunk their teeth into the earth before they could reach Ilios. But now you have robbed me of great glory and rescued the Trojans in awe and concern, as there is no revenge you had to fear for the future. I would surely pay you back if only I had the power. So speaking, he set out for the city with high thoughts in his mind, moving at speed like a champion horse pulling a chariot, who runs lightly at the gallop over the plain. So Achilleus set his legs and knees, running fast. The old man Priam's eyes were the first to see him, as he rushed on over the plain, glittering like the star that comes in late summer. And its light is seen the clearest among the many stars in the darkness of the night. Men call this star Orion's Dog, and it is the brightest of stars, yet a sign of evil, bringing much fever on poor mortals. Such was the shining of the bronze on his breast as he ran. The old man groaned aloud and lifted his hands above him and beat his head, and with great groans he called out in entreaty to his dear son, who was standing firm in front of the gates, relentless in his fury to fight with Achilleus. The old man, Priam, stretched out his arms and spoke pitiably to his son. Hector, please, dear child, do not face this man alone away from the others, so you do not go down under the son of Peleus and quickly meet your doom, you stubborn man, because he is far stronger than you. If only the gods had the same love for him as I do, then he would soon be lying dead, and the dogs and vultures eating him, and a terrible sorrow would be gone from my heart. He has left me bereaved of many brave sons, killing them or selling them to slavery in distant islands. And even now there are two of my sons I cannot see among the Trojans crowded into the city, Lycaon and Polydorus, sons born to me by Laothoe, queen among women. If they are held alive in the Achaean camp, then we shall ransom them in time for bronze and gold. It's there in our house, as her old father, famous Altes, gave much wealth with his daughter. But if they are already dead and gone down to the house of Hades, there is sorrow for my heart and for their mother, we who are their parents. For the rest of our people, the sorrow will be shorter lived, unless you too are brought down by Achilles and killed. No, come inside the walls, my child, so you can save the men and women of Troy. Do not give a great triumph to the son of Peleus and have your own dear life taken from you. And have pity on me too. I still live and feel, but my life is pain, and I am fated to misery. Father Zeus will destroy me at the edge of old age with a cruel doom, when I have lived to see many horrors. My sons killed, and my daughters dragged off captive, their houses looted, and their little children smashed on the ground in the havoc of war. And the wives of my sons hauled away in the murderous hands of the Achaeans. And then myself last of all, the dogs will tear me in front of my doors and eat me raw, when some man has taken the life from my body with a blow or cast of his sharp bronze. The dogs that I reared in the house and at my own table to guard the doors will lie in the gateway with their hearts excited by drinking my blood. In a young man, all is decent if he is killed in war and lies there torn by the sharp bronze. Though he is dead, all that is revealed of him is beautiful. But when an old man has been killed, and the dogs are mutilating his grey head and grey beard and private parts, this is the most pitiful sight that poor mortals can see. So the old man spoke, and began pulling out his grey hairs with his hands, tearing them out of his head, but he could not move Hector's heart. His mother, Hecabe, now wailed and wept tears beside Priam, and opened the fold of her dress, and held out a breast in her hand, and then, with tears falling, she called on him in winged words, "Hector, my child, respond to this, and have pity on me, if ever I gave you the breast to soothe your trouble. Remember those times, dear child, and fight off your enemy from inside the wall. Do not go out to challenge him, obstinate man. If he kills you, I shall not then be able to lay you on the bier and mourn for you, dear creature, my own child, nor will your dowered wife. But far away from both of us, out by the Argive ships, the quick dogs will feed on you." So those two called to their dear son in tears, imploring him over and over again. But they could not move Hector's heart, but he waited there for huge Achilles as he came closer. As a mountain snake in his hole waits the approach of a man, when he has eaten poisonous herbs and savage anger has sunk deep into him, and he glares out malevolently, coiling round in his hole, so Hector kept his fury unabated and would not give back, leaning his bright shield against a jutting buttress. But he spoke in dismay to his own great heart. "What am I to do? If I go back inside the gates and the wall, Polydamas will be the first to lay blame on me, because he urged me to lead the Trojans back to the city during this last fatal night, when godlike Achilles had roused himself. but I did not take his advice. It would have been far better if I had. Now that I have destroyed my people through my own arrant folly, I feel shame before the men of Troy and the women of Troy with their trailing dresses, that some man, a worse man than I, will say, Hector trusted in his own strength and destroyed his people. That is what they will say. And then it would be far better for me to face Achilles and either kill him and return home, or die a glorious death myself in front of my city. But suppose I put down my bossed shield and heavy helmet and lean my spear against the wall and go out as I am to meet the excellent Achilles and promise to return Helen and all her property with her to the sons of Atreus for their keeping. All that Alexandros or Paris brought away in his hollow ships to Troy and was the first cause of our quarrel. And also to share equally with the Achaeans all the rest of the property stored in this city. Then afterwards I could make the Trojans take an oath in their council that they will hide nothing, but divide everything in two parts, all the possessions that the lovely city contains within it. But what need for this debate in my heart? I fear that if I go up to him, he will not show me any pity or regard for my appeal, but will simply kill me unarmed like a woman when I have taken off my armour. There can be no sweet murmuring with him now, like boy and girl at the trysting tree or rock, the way a boy and girl murmur sweetly together. Better to close and fight as soon as can be. We can see then to which of us the Olympian is giving the victory. Such were his thoughts as he waited. And Achilles came close on him like Enyalios, the god of war, the warrior with the flashing helmet, shaking his terrible spear of Pelian ash over his right shoulder. And the bronze on his body shone like the light of a blazing fire, or the sun when it rises. And trembling took hold of Hector when he saw him. Now he no longer had the courage to stand his ground where he was, but he left the gates behind him and ran in terror. And the son of Peleus leapt after him, confident in the speed of his legs. As a hawk in the mountains, quickest of all flying things, swoops after a trembling dove with ease. She flies in terror before him, but he keeps close behind her, screaming loud and lunging for her time after time as his heart urges him to kill. So Achilles flew straight for Hector in full fury, and Hector fled away from him under the walls of Troy, setting his legs running fast. They sped past the lookout place and the wind-tossed fig tree, keeping all the time to the wagon track a little way out from the wall, and came to the two wellheads of lovely water. Here the twin springs of swirling Scamandros shoot up from the ground. One spring runs with warm water, and steam rises all round it, as if a fire were burning there. But the other, even in summer, flows out cold as hail, or frozen snow, or water turned to ice. There, close beside these springs, are the fine broad washing troughs made of stone, where the Trojans' wives and their lovely daughters used to wash their bright clothes, in earlier times, in peace, before the sons of the Achaeans came. The two men ran past here, one in flight, the other chasing him. A brave man was running in front, but a far greater one was in pursuit. And they ran at speed, since it was no sacrificial beast or oxhide shield they were competing for, such as are the usual prizes that men win in the foot race. But they were running for the life of Hector, the tamer of horses. As when champion strong-footed horses wheel round the turning posts, running at full stretch, when a great prize is there to be won, a tripod or a woman in the funeral games for a man who has died. So those two raced round the city of Priam, circling it three times with all the speed of their legs, and all the gods looked on. The father of men and gods was the first of them to speak. "Oh, I love this man who is being pursued around the wall under the gaze of my eyes. My heart is saddened for Hector, who has burned the thigh bones of many oxen to me on the peaks of valleyed Ida, and again on the city's height. But now, godlike Achilleus on his swift feet is chasing him round the city of Priam. Well then, give thought to it, gods, and consider whether we shall save him from death, or bring him down now for all his bravery at the hands of Achilleus, son of Peleus." Then the bright-eyed goddess Athene said to him, "Father, master of the bright lightning and the dark clouds, what is this you're saying? Do you intend to take a man who is mortal and long ago doomed by fate and release him from grim death? Do it then, but we other gods will not all approve you." Then Zeus, the cloud gatherer, answered her, "Do not worry, Tritogeneia, dear child. I do not speak with my heart in full earnest, and my intention to you is kind. Do as your purpose directs, and do not hold back any longer." With these words he urged on Athene what she herself already desired, and she went darting down from the peaks of Olympus. And swift Achilleus kept driving Hector on with his relentless pursuit. As when a dog has started the fawn of a deer from its lair in the mountains and chases it on through the hollows and the glens, even if it takes to cover and crouches hidden under a bush, the dog smells out its track and runs on unerringly until he finds it. So Hector could not throw off the swift-footed son of Peleus. Whenever he tried to make a dash for the Dardanian gates, to get under the well-built walls and give the men above a chance of defending him with their weapons, every time Achilleus would be there in time to block his way and head him back out towards the plain, while he himself kept always on the city side as he flew onwards. As a man in a dream is unable to pursue someone trying to escape, and the other cannot run away just as he cannot give chase, so Achilleus could not catch him with his running, nor Hector get away. And how could Hector have kept clear of the fates of death if Apollo had not come close to him for the last and final time and spurred strength in him and speed to his legs? And godlike Achilleus had been shaking his head at his own people to stop them shooting their bitter arrows at Hector, in case one of them should win the glory with a hit and he himself reach Hector too late. But when they came round to the wellheads for the fourth time, then the father opened out his golden scales. In the pans he put two fates of death's long sorrow, one for Achilleus and one for Hector the tamer of horses, and he took the scales in the middle and lifted them up, and Hector's day of doom sank down away into Hades, and Phoebus Apollo left him. Then the bright-eyed goddess Athene came to the son of Peleus, it's Achilleus, and stood close by him and spoke winged words to him. "Now, glorious Achilleus, loved of Zeus, now I think that we too will bring great glory for the Achaeans back to the ships. We will kill Hector, for all his lust for battle. There is no possibility now that he can escape us any longer, even if Apollo the Far Worker goes through agonies of grovelling before Father Zeus, who holds the aegis. So you stand still now and get your breath, while I go and persuade him to fight with you, face to face." So Athene spoke, and Achilles was happy at heart, and did as she told him. So he stood there leaning on his bronze-barbed ash spear.